Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Rudolph looking. Rudolph is set.
Ball's out.
Ball's out. Ball is rolling around. Who's got it? Bears had a shot at it. Steelers then had a chance. Chicago's Montez Sweat, and the Bears secure it.
First down, Chicago.
Montez Sweat's first sack of the day came one-on-one on Darnell Washington, and so does his second. He gets around him quicker this time, gets to Mason Rudolph, knocks the ball out. Huge play for the Bears defense. Trevon Dexter, the big dancing bear, according to Montez Sweat, tried to dance with the ball there. Wasn't able to pick it up, but wow, massive play for the Chicago Bears. Takeaway specialist.
Sweat forces the fumble, recovers the fumble.
What a game by Montez Sweat. Ended up getting one of the game balls from Ben Johnson as the Bears beat the Steelers with a final of 31-28. Judson Richards back here with you on 6-7 The Score. It is a Good, Better, Best Monday on 6-7 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank. And great clips. A reminder, also coming up on the station this evening, the Bulls will take on the Pelicans. That's a 7 o'clock tip time. Our coverage will begin on the Score coming up at 6:45. Also loaded for an entire Bears victory Monday on the Score. Looking forward to hearing Olin Krutz at 7 a.m. with Mully and Haw. And, of course, Brad Biggs will join them coming up at 8 o'clock. Dustin Rhodes will take over coming up at 5 o'clock this morning with the Mully and Haw pregame show. But we are here right now, and we are here to celebrate the 8-3 Chicago Bears. Let's talk about it. We've been asking you this morning three reasons. Give us your top three reasons why the Bears find themselves 8-3, first place of the NFC North. I know that we've, you know, last couple of weeks, and more so about 2 weeks ago, is this a good Bears team? Right? Is this a good team considering who they've beaten? Well, I'm looking in front of me and I see that there are three teams that have a better winning percentage. Only three teams across the entire NFL, not the NFC, the entire NFL. New England Patriots are 10-2. That's an .833 winning percentage. The Rams are 9-2. That's an .818 winning percentage, tied with the Broncos there at .818. And then the Bears and the Philadelphia Eagles, .727 winning percentage is 8-3. The Eagles are 8-3. The Bears are 8-3. The Colts are now 8-3. The Seahawks are also 8-3. So we can, you know, we can focus on the Bears have only beaten teams, except for yesterday, have only beaten teams with losing records. Or you could say, boy, this really is just an NFL that is somewhat feasting on itself, and it's led to more teams having lesser records. And so maybe we need to recalibrate what we think is a good team or isn't a good enough team, has a chance to beat anybody on any given Sunday or on any given Friday, because the Bears play on Black Friday against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I will ask you, is there a team out there where you would say, no way the Bears could beat that team? I mean, there is a team. There's a team out there you say, Grant, leader on the other side of the glass, no chance the Bears couldn't beat that team?
The LA Rams.
Come on.
They got the MVP, Matt Stafford. They have a suffocating defense, and they can control the ball as long as they want. They just took the Buccaneers, who most people were saying is one of the best teams. Obviously, the Buccaneers are faltering, but they just beat them 31-7. And yes, Baker left in the second half, but the Rams are probably the best team in the NFL right now.
All right. Well, they've lost to the Philadelphia Eagles.
On a blocked field goal.
And they lost to the San Francisco. So they play close games. I know another team that can play some close games. And they lost to the San Francisco 49ers. I just think, and by the way, maybe they will get a chance to see each other.
Maybe they will get a chance. Absolutely.
There's not a single team out there that I would say that the Bears don't stand a chance.
I would also say the Broncos.
You don't think they stand a chance against Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos?
I do not. I think that the Denver Broncos are very similar to the Rams. We're suffocating defense, control of the ball, and Bo Nix. Sneaky arm. People don't give him enough credit with his arm. I think he's pretty talented.
So the Denver Broncos and Los Angeles Rams, who have one more win on the season than the Chicago Bears, you say don't stand a chance.
Well, obviously,
with one more win, Grant. One more single win. An 8-3 team does not stand a chance against the 9-2 Denver Broncos or Los Angeles Rams.
Obviously, football.
If I'm a betting man, yeah. I'm not saying that I would put money on them, but to not stand a chance, I just don't think you. I don't think you think enough of the Bears. The other, I would say you don't think enough of Ben Johnson. But again, you're going to get a chance, or I'm going to get a chance to put my money where my mouth is, because the Bears have beaten a lot of lowly teams, right?
Yep.
Like teams that are a lot closer to way less than 500 than hovering around 500, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who they just beat, who are now 6-5. Their only team they've beaten with a plus 500 record. But
I will say that if the Bears have a chance against those teams, the Rams or the Broncos. But I will say, if the Bears defense can't create those turnovers, I think it will be a long day for them against those teams.
I would agree. Yeah, and this is really what this team has been built on. Takeaways and not giving it away specifically. But there's also something else for this Bears team that I think we're going to be watching for, and hopefully it may be something that at the end of it, we can say Ben Johnson was right. Because Ben Johnson hasn't been wrong about a lot this season. Will you give Ben Johnson a little bit of credit there, Grant?
Yes, of course. Okay. Ben Johnson is one of the key reasons why this team has turned around.
Right.
Obviously, we saw what Nagy did. We saw what Eberflus did, trying to carry that timeout into the following weekend.
So you like him. You just don't think you don't like him enough to think he would stand a chance against the Rams or the Denver Broncos, who have amassed all but one more victory.
Well, we're talking about two head coaches that won Super Bowls versus a guy who just started as a head coach who's not a full season in. So the edge has to go to Peyton and it has to go to McVay.
Okay.
Right now.
But he's probably off to a better start than those two.
Oh, absolutely. McVay, probably not. Actually, if I think about it, going back to 2006 with Sean Payton, he did lead that team to the NFC title game and did lose to the Bears. But that was still a very good season in the Saints standards as well.
Okay, and then McVay, so every other team out there besides the two.
Okay.
That every great leader is named. Yeah, they have a chance in those games. But what we're going to be looking for here is how Ben Johnson, who said that this Bears team would be playing their best football in December, how are they going to grow and get better and potentially get healthy as they make their way through the remainder of the season? Again, it's the Philadelphia Eagles on Friday. The Eagles are now 8-3, who lost to the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. And so the Eagles have lost to the Cowboys and the Giants, right? They are certainly, they are the defending Super Bowl champs. I think they're 4-1 in Philadelphia. It's much tougher there, but they are a beatable team. Then you've got the Packers, 7-3-1. They've lost to the Browns. They lost to the Panthers. Remember, they lost, it was back-to-back games at home. They tied with Dallas as well. And then you've got the Browns, who are 3-8, although arguably one of the best defenses in the NFL. That is a team where do not overlook them just because you play them in between the Packers in back-to-back weeks.
And watch out for Myles Garrett.
And watch out for Myles Garrett, who is certainly a game record. Week 16, again, you go back to the Packers. And then you go on the road facing the San Francisco 49ers, 7-4. They've lost to the Jags and the Texans this year, but they have gotten Brock Purdy back. They are certainly getting healthy, although taking, what, $26 million guaranteed for Brandon Ayuk because he is not doing enough to get in shape and go and play on the football field. And then week 18, you go up against the Lions, which, you know, you have to like that the Lions, the last game of the season, perhaps it could mean a lot for what's happening in division. But the Lions, 7-4, you know, they have really your most impressive resume if you look at their losses. They lost to the Packers, the Chiefs, the Vikings, and the Eagles. Not a lot of dogs there that they've lost to. But we are still looking at a Bears team where, again, what was most impressive yesterday is what they were able to overcome. And that's missing their top three starting linebackers. And after Tyreek Stevenson went out, that was missing their top three cornerbacks as well and still finding a way to get it done. And I think that Aaron Rodgers would have given the Bears much more fits than Mason Rudolph did. So they certainly caught a break there. But when will the Bears catch a break, perhaps in the health department, specifically defensively? If Jalen Johnson is back Friday, if Kyler Gordon have a chance to be back Friday, and then everything that we're watching with this Bears offense. They are sixth in total offense. They are second in rushing offense. They are eighth in total points. And at times it hasn't looked good, or at times it hasn't looked great, yet we know what they're working towards. We know what they are working on. They are still very much a new unit where each time they get live bullets, live reps, they're a team that has a chance to get better, and we are watching it play out. So, if they do get a chance to face the great Denver Broncos in the playoffs or the great Los Angeles Rams, then perhaps by the time they got to the playoffs, they may not be the same team we're looking at right now a month, 2 months down the road as Ben Johnson continues to good, better, best this team.
You think they're better than the Patriots?
Well, I certainly would give them a fighting chance.
That's a fighting chance. I will say that. Yes. But I will say that the Patriots look really good this season.
They certainly do.
And they're kind of playing the Bears style too, where they're kind of fighting in these close games. And they were in a close one with Cincinnati yesterday. So
They were. And Drake May has been very, very good. The completion percentage that so many Bears fans would love for Caleb Williams. Let's take a listen to Montez Sweat, who had a monster game yesterday, certainly one of the guys in the top five of being paid by the Bears. Montez Sweat lived up to it yesterday. As Ben Johnson keeps saying, he's heating up. Here's what Montez said to the media.
What was the mindset going into this game, knowing you were down so many guys on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, we understood that we had all our starting linebackers down. Coach just preached, we got to pick them up and compete on all three phases and have each other's back.
But can you take us through the strip sack, just kind of what you saw?
I think it was a play action or something like that. I seen the tight end, gave him a move, came around, sacked the quarterback. I seen the ball was out. I think a couple people tried to pick it up and run. I seen it on the ground, and I just covered it up.
Montez, what's been the difference for you personally, having, especially after the bye, having come alive, putting up so many sacks? What's been the difference for you in your game and your preparation that's led to this?
I think I'm just taking advantage of my opportunities. Early in the season, I felt like I was playing good ball, but the stats is starting to come through for me, and it's a blessing. But we still got a lot more left on the table to get cleaned up.
Kind of pride you taking the idea that you guys continue to finish out these close games and stack these wins.
Say it again.
What kind of pride do you guys take in being able to finish these games and stack these wins in these close games?
Yeah, we take a lot of pride in it. We understand that hasn't necessarily been a story around here. in the past years ever since I've been here. But we're creating a history of competing in these close games, and we feel pretty comfortable in it. We know when we're down or it's a close game, we're still in a fight. And I feel that coming from all phases, and so we just all fighting.
What was going through your mind when you found out that Rodgers wasn't going to be playing?
I mean, I would have loved to play Aaron Rodgers. He's a great QB. I sacked him a couple years ago. I would have loved to get him again. But I mean, we just whoever's out there, we gotta do what we gotta do.
How did Mason Rudolph? Did that change what they were doing at all?
I mean, it probably changed for them. It didn't change. It didn't necessarily change for us. DA had the same game plan, whether it's him up or Aaron Rodgers. So. Yeah, like I said, whoever they throw out there, we take advantage of it and do what we got to do.
With so many new players and new guys calling the defense, what was it like in the huddle before snaps?
I mean, it was great. I mean, kudos to D-Jack and Hippolyte and all the guys. I mean, Eamon, all the guys who stepped up, man, they did a great job. They was flying around, and they did a great job giving us the calls too.
How do you just describe the way this team keeps winning these one-score games?
Like I said. The history here hasn't necessarily been that. Ben preaches us fighting in those close games, and it's just not the same old Bears.
You almost had a third sack. Seemed like maybe you slipped away from you there. What happened?
Yeah, I got to finish that. It's the difference between being good and great. It would have been my first hat trick, so maybe we can try again next game.
What's it like to see Brisker get the big play on fourth down?
I mean, yeah. Like I said, everybody is stepping up in all phases. He ended the game for us. Grady made a great play the series before getting his hand up. I know that's pretty ideal seeing that he's only 5 feet. That's it. Thank y'all.
Man, Montez Sweat had a great chance for the hat trick, as he called it. I mean, Rudolph was right there in his grasp. He virtually had him. And then, you know, Rudolph is a big guy. He was able to shake him off. But two sacks for Montez yesterday, three tackles for a loss, two QB hits. A reason why the Bears came away with a victory, 31-28, the final, as the Bears improved to 8-3 on the season. Let's hear from Olin Cruz, because we were talking about Ben Johnson, and, you know, this was a matchup. Ben Johnson, I know, a ton of respect for Mike Tomlin, but I thought that, you know, coach versus coach, thought that Ben Johnson got the better of the Steelers yesterday.
What a win for the Chicago Bears. Just overcoming all those injuries. Dennis Allen, take a bow. The things he did with the guys he had out there on defense, the linebackers, and then Hippolyte goes down right early in the game.
Yeah.
And we're all wondering who the hell is going to come in the game now. But, you know, and seven of their Steelers' 28 points is from the offense. So the defense gives up 21 points today, right? Mm-hmm. And really just Wright continues his performance with that interception early in the game, run stopping, doing different things. He drew the holding call on DK Metcalf, although the Steelers did come back and score there. And then, Pat, to your point on offense, scoring on takeaways. But I also thought putting the ball in Caleb's hands down there in the red zone, letting him throw the ball, right? Letting him find Colson Loveland. We talked about finding Colson Loveland there in the red zone, finding DJ Moore. The 25-yard pass to DJ Moore was scheme. I thought that on that drive, I thought Ben Johnson just purely out-schemed the Pittsburgh Steelers when he came out in 12, and you saw that the Steelers linebackers, Herbig and Watt, were in coverage. Things like that Ben Johnson does.
That was Olin Cruz from the postgame show. By the way, Olin mentioned DJ Moore. We haven't talked a lot about DJ this morning. 5 receptions, 64 yards, 2 touchdowns, over 7 targets. And, you know, we mentioned, as we've been watching this team, it's been impressive with how much they've been able to do without really their big money guys having a lot of say in it, especially early on. Jalen Johnson virtually hasn't played this season except for just a little bit in week 2. DJ Moore, their highest paid offensive player at times would be third, even fourth in targets, hasn't really looked like a primary target. We know that's been Roma Dunze a lot. But DJ certainly was today. Was yesterday. Had a really, really silly penalty, that taunting penalty, but made up for it immediately with a reception, got in the end zone a couple times. And also Montez Sweat, another of the highest paid Bears making impact. So that's something that has certainly changed from the first half of the season, from the second half of the season. Patrick Manley talking about this Bears team overcoming all the injuries.
The effort of this team and the way that Ben Johnson has them playing is impressive. I mean, it's just for that many backups to come in. We talked six starters in the pregame to come in. And I just, you know, I didn't think they had a chance against this Steelers team that had all these names on there, but they outplayed them. They out-hustled them. They just, they played their butt off. I mean, you got to give credit to Ozzie Trapillo, left tackle, came in, played a decent game. You know, you didn't see him. You didn't hear about him that much. Credit to Ben Johnson and Roshar with a good game plan of helping him a little bit, but there were times he was one-on-one and did his job. And that's two of the best defensive ends statistically. One, T.J. Watt, best in the league, yes, but statistically, Herbig with 6.5 sacks. They did a hell of a job. The defense, okay, they gave up the run game, but they did it at the end, man. They played hard. They got it done. Brisker there at the end has the tip ball. Your players need to make plays, right? Montez Sweat with 2 sacks, a sack fumble recovery. We were asking, where is he at? I don't know why they have Darnell Washington blocking him. I mean, I know he's as big as a tackle, but he doesn't pass block like a tackle, and you're putting him against your best pass rusher. It's a little bit of a kind of shock they did that, but Montez Sweat did his job. So everybody picked up their game that needed to pick up their game. And just impressive victory by the Bears, doing it against, I know, a backup quarterback, but a team that has a lot of talent on that roster.
It's hard to believe that DeMarco Jackson and Amen Ogbonigbemiga had a combined 29 tackles between the two of them. DeMarco Jackson had played in 9 games this season. Would you have guessed that for the Bears? And came away with 11 tackles over 9 games. One of the best storylines I've heard from this game, and it came because of how thin they are, is DeMarco Jackson had the green dot, right? Whenever you hear the green dot, that means that they have the helmet that the coach on the sideline can talk into your ears, right? You get one on offense, you get one on defense, your quarterback wears it on offense, and your linebacker wears it on defense. So DeMarco Jackson hadn't done that, and then he has to call out the plays and relay it to his teammates. So DeMarco was getting up an hour early every morning. And not only was he getting up an hour early every morning, but he's got a 6-month-old baby girl. And so his middle of the night duties, his wife said, I got this, you get your sleep. So he got his extra sleep, he got up early, and he practiced calling out the plays in front of the mirror in his bathroom to be ready for the game. So that's putting in work, and as Ben Johnson said before he addressed the team, or as he was addressing the team, first words out of his mouth was, it takes a village. And I think Mrs. Jackson would agree that it takes a village, as she took over the main baby duties in the middle of the night. So her husband, DeMarco, because she said that she could tell he was nervous. So she allowed him to get a little extra sleep as he got up early, got in front of the mirror, called it out, and had perhaps the best game of his career, I'm guessing, as 3 years, and had been with Dennis Allen in New Orleans, so they were familiar with each other, and he was familiar with the defense. Hey, join the Score this Friday at the Wall in Gurnee, located at 6144 West Grand Avenue, Olin Kreutz. James Big Cat Williams and the Mark Grody will host our pregame show there from 11 to 2, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Philadelphia. That's the day after Thanksgiving. Catch the game on the biggest of screens while enjoying all the MVP comforts of a Marcus Theater. There will be drink specials as well. It's all happening at the Wall in Gurnee starting at 11 a.m. this Friday. Also, just a reminder, coming up this morning on Mullion Hall, Olin Kreutz at 7 o'clock, Brad Biggs at 8 o'clock, and then Clay Harbor will join them at 9 o'clock. Of course, the pregame show, Mullion Hall pregame show with Dustin Rhodes, gets started at 5 a.m. this morning. But coming up next, can we expect any of these defensive stars for the Bears to be back for the Philadelphia Eagles game on Friday? Marquee Sports Network Scott Baer will tell us coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You've had some frustrating moments team-wise being on this team, and you've expressed that, the losing. How good does it feel to be sitting here, standing here, talking about an 8-3 team?
It feels great. We're on a three-game winning streak. We're sitting at 8-3. I've never been 8-3 here, so it's amazing. And we're not done yet. And to be honest, we haven't even played a complete game, offense, defense, and special team. So I got so much things to work on.
Best is yet to come.
Yeah, for sure.
That was Jaquan Brisker, who was levitating, at least according to J.J. Watt, as he batted down that pass. Mark Grody talking to Jaquan Brisker. After a 31-28 Bears win the final, the Bears improved to 8-3. They remain atop the NFC North all alone and get setting for this final stretch. They have the third most difficult strength of schedule on their way out, as they have six games left to go. But according to, where was I looking at this? According to playoffstatus.com, now a 72% chance to get into the playoffs. Although, make what you want of those. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. A reminder, tonight, the Bulls are in New Orleans to take on the Pelicans. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:45. Tip-off at 7 o'clock on The Score and the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network that is powered by Heli Forklifts. Just a reminder, Black Friday coming your way, and it'll be a Bears Friday. They will be in Philadelphia. Still have some doubters out there. Some may say, they can't beat any team around the NFL on any given day. Well, you can change that over the next 2 weeks. You've got the Philadelphia Eagles, and then you've got the Green Bay Packers. By the way, you're going to Philadelphia and then to Green Bay. So an incredibly difficult two-game stretch for the Bears. It would be nice if they could get healthier. It would be nice, certainly, if they could get better on defense. But the Bears 8-3, and they are certainly heading in the right direction. Let's talk more about what unfolded yesterday. He was at the game. He is Scott Baer of the Marquee Sports Network. Scott, I've watched a lot of Bears games. I've watched a lot of football. I'd be hard-pressed to think of a team so decimated with injuries that still came out victorious. What say you?
So Ben Johnson gave out game balls to DeMarco Jackson, the reserve middle linebacker, got one. And then Montez Sweat got the other. He should have given one to Dennis Allen, because The coaching job that he did, if you were to look at the Bears starting 11, and then you were to compare it to the presumptive starters at the beginning of the year, there's only four dudes who would be a part of that mix. Five. So six guys you have replacements. They were missing their entire linebacker core, two of their star defensive backs. They lost Ruben Hippolyte. They lost Tyreek Stevenson, and yet still they found a way to not only win, but really clamp down on the Pittsburgh Steelers in the second half, minus that 17-play drive later in the game. But my goodness, Dennis Allen has worked wonders on that side of the football. He has those guys believing. And the thing that I liked, he told us this the other day. He said, you cannot call the same game regardless of personnel. It's not, this is what we do and this is how we're doing it. It's what are the talents that I have available? How can we make it work? And I think that his ability to be adaptable is so impressive. And I've covered him for a long time. I think he's grown as a defensive play caller, but to get this defense, to get names like DeMarco Jackson, you know, Amon Ogbogbemiga, I think I got that
nicely
right.
Nicely done. Yep.
To get those guys going, to get Nick McLeod and Nashawn Wright leads the NFL with, or is equal tied for first in interceptions. That is impressive. And that's part players gutting it out. It's part, it takes a village, which was Ben Johnson's kind of mantra after this game. And it's part coaching, man. And I think all of those three things, with as depleted as this defense was, really makes this win stand out.
Scott, I agree. I think Dennis Allen did deserve a game ball. With that being said, I was one of those that thought, they may be actually catching a break with Aaron Rodgers not playing. And in fact, maybe Mason Rudolph would give them more, like more deep balls. I thought Rudolph had a very poor game. And in fact, I think they caught a real break not having Aaron Rodgers, because I think he would have attacked the middle of the field much more than they did.
I think so too. And Mason Rudolph's deep ball was essentially useless. We saw that early on, which really forced offensive coordinator Arthur Smith of the Steelers to have to use the flats, right, and try to play this horizontal game. And that's why they had a 13-play touchdown drive and a 17-play touchdown drive. And those are impressive, but that's not winning football. That's not sustainable if you can't get explosives. Essentially, the two explosives that they got were on a pass interference call and then that well-designed fake tush-push that went for 55. But overall, his inability to work the ball downfield, I think, was really difficult. And I was talking about it with some of the other Bears beat guys, and I just think that Aaron Rodgers is 21-3 at Soldier Field. And you come down there, and the Steelers had two shots to at least tie that game. You don't think – I know Aaron Rodgers is like a shadow of what he used to be, but you don't think the old man just rips the Bears fans beating heart out in like in those moments. I do think having Mason Rudolph instead of Aaron Rodgers was a big deal and played a factor in this one. I'm not saying the Bears absolutely would have lost had Aaron Rodgers played, but I think Mason Rudolph, again, he did not play winning football.
Yeah, take your breaks where you can get them, pun intended. And I thought that the Bears caught a huge break, bigger than I would have expected with the game that Mason Rudolph had. He's Scott Baer, covers the Bears for the Marquee Sports Network. Scott, 8-3 in first place of the NFC North. What has impressed you the most about the job that Ben Johnson has done this season?
I think it's giving this team everything that it didn't have under Matt Eberflus. I think I've been on the air with you a bunch. I was no fan of how the former Bears head coach kind of conducted his business or got his players to rally around him. And Ben Johnson has done that. This whole, like, not the same old Bears thing. I don't think the Bears are learning how to win. I think they have learned how to win. And I think that they have confidence in crunch time, understanding that no NFL game is perfect. But if you can perform well over the last 5 minutes, and also Ben Johnson manages the clock extremely well for a first-year head coach, holds on to his
timeouts. They always have their timeouts. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yep.
Yeah, and kind of knows when to challenge and when to, you know, cut bait. And I just think that he's been so impressive. I think this culture, everyone talks about changing the culture. The culture has changed. I don't care if they blow it down the stretch. This culture has changed. They are believers in Dennis Allen and in Ben Johnson. To see the effort that these people put in has been incredible. And it's not just effort. It's that, talking to DeMarco Jackson after the game, he said that T.J. Edwards, who hasn't played in weeks, was coming in early and staying late and going over film with the first-time NFL starter at middle linebacker who was being asked to call plays, and TJ Edwards was in DeMarco's ear on the sideline saying, this is what I'm seeing, this is how I can help you, this is what you need to be done better. And that is a cultural thing, right? And I think that when you have guys who are unavailable still pouring into these reserves, giving them confidence, giving them knowledge that they wouldn't otherwise have, that speaks to the culture, and I think that that's how you win games like this.
Yeah, that's a great nugget on TJ Edwards. So 15 tackles for DeMarco Jackson, with a lot of Bears fans probably saying, wait, who is that guy that is flying around the field and making a lot of important plays? Another thing I love that Ben Johnson does compared to Matt Eberflus is Eberflus would like challenge a play if it was a coin toss, and then you'd end up losing a timeout. Like, he's just so much better. It's just a cleaner, crisper game while also tuning it up to a top five offense overall in the NFL. Scott, how did you assess Caleb Williams' game?
Uneven, mixed bag, I would say. His stat line doesn't look terrible, right? He's got a passer rating over 100, I think. 3 passing touchdowns. He connected with DJ Moore, but I think this is less me analyzing it and more Caleb Williams being honest about his own game, is that there were certain plays that they've run in the past and have worked exquisitely. He called his passes on some of these misses where he was missing high and he was missing behind guys. He was calling those plays executed surgically in the past. They were plays that were working out in practice, but he was just off. He just was. And that play where TJ Watt had him dead to rights in the grasp, like, you can get away from some guys, but TJ Watt is elite at not letting you leave. And I'm going to have to watch the tape, and I didn't get a chance to ask Caleb, but it looked like he was trying to like pitch it forward to avoid the safety, play some hero ball. And at that point, like, you probably just eat 2 points over giving up 7. That might've been the worst play of his young tenure.
Yep.
But he was uneven. His completion percentage the last 2 weeks is hovering around 50. And don't forget that Ben Johnson wants it around 70. Jared Goff over the last year with Ben Johnson was in the high 60s. If you can kick that completion volume towards 59, 60, 61, something like that, if you can kick it that way, then each of those individual moments, you up that completion volume, you up the yardage, you improve in these kind of subtle, unique ways that maybe aren't dramatic, but keep the offense moving. And they scored 31, but they really could have scored a lot more. And that's where I think he needs to get better. There were a couple of times where even on that sack in the end zone, he was looking towards Colston Loveland in the flat, and he had him and didn't pull the trigger. And then he had DeAndre Swift on the other side, and he wasn't really looking that way, but still. And just saying, at sometimes a completion for +4 is better than a negative play, or is better than nothing at all. We're still trying to get him to go that way, and I think he will be a lot better if he can.
Scott, one of the things, tell me if you agree, one of the things that I feel comfortable in my Caleb Williams assessment is there are more things that he needs to get better at that are teachable and correctable versus the things that you can't teach, which he can do very, very well. And that's, you know, not just the athletic things like being able to pick up yards with his feet, but also the arm strength. And I mean legitimate arm strength, like maybe a top five around the NFL. And then also the ability to be clutch, and also an innate ability to really take care of the ball. Like, those things I feel like are less teachable than what he still needs to work on and can get better at.
I'd like to just steal that thought process and put a story on MarquiSportsNetwork.com.
I think you're
exactly right.
Yeah.
And in a way that I kind of hadn't thought about before, which is why I like these conversations that you and I have. And what I think is true is that sometimes his great ability to escape, or his top five arm talent, which I don't think that you're wrong there, that can get him in trouble because he assumes that he can make every play. Mm. And that's great. And there are times where he does, but for every time that he makes this wizardry, both of his feet jump, throw off, you know, bend the bullet type of throws downfield, there's 2 times where that doesn't work. And it doesn't get the Bears in trouble from a turnover perspective, but it also limits the ability to execute Ben Johnson's offense the way that he wants it run, which is get into a rhythm, keep that volume high, keep the ball going forward. And but there are ways that we see him tangibly better. He's better before the snap. There's no doubt. He's better at making the right kind of kill calls. I think he's better in ways. And I think to your point, the areas where he's deficient will get erased over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reps, of the repetition of working within the system, of understanding what he's supposed to do with the football. And I think that will continue to improve. I'm not worried about Caleb Williams. Not at all. And I think his best football is ahead of him this season. And I think next year, with another full offseason with Ben Johnson, I expect him to be a lot better. Is he an elite quarterback right now? I'm sure there's some Bears fans saying, gosh, I wish that we could have had Drake May, when last year they probably said, gosh, I wish that we could have had Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
I still feel like the Bears should be comfortable in their quarterback situation in the short and the long term.
Scott,
because of what you said.
You write that article, and I look forward to reading it. He is Scott Baer. He does a tremendous job covering the Bears for the Marquee Sports Network. Really enjoy that little nugget you gave us about T.J. Edwards. Scott, a couple more for you. Has the difficulty of their remaining schedule, has it been overblown at all, or is it as daunting as some like to make it out to be?
It's pretty rough, man. But it's weird because I think we talked a couple weeks back and I was like, you know, like they can go 4-4 and get to 10. 10's like the magic number. I think 11 wins gets you in for sure. They still have the Browns on the schedule. But outside of that, they've got San Francisco on a Sunday night going across to the West Coast, two games against Green Bay, a game against Detroit late, and a game against the reigning Super Bowl champs who just absolutely totally blew it and are going to be super pissed off. Right, on a short week, by the way. So I think that this is going to be a real prove it section. We're going to learn a lot about this Bears team over the course of these next six games. I think it's going to be a fascinating watch, because while I think everybody's kind of assuming, like, why are the Bears at 8-3? If you look at their point differential, they're actually in the negative, because that includes the absolute drubbing in week two against the Lions, which you can't discount. And you look at that and you wonder, how are they going to stack up? Well, I wonder that too, and I think that we're going to see it. The games that I have circled, because, look, they are the NFC North division leaders after 12 weeks. They are one loss away from being equal to the best team in the NFC. I do think it's going to be fascinating. I think our expectations should go up. But back to my original point, those two games against Green Bay, I honestly think like that's the season, man. If they can split those, if they can win two, if they can be competitive against their rival with a division title on the line, I think we're going to learn a lot in those two games. I think those two games are the pivot points in this closing stretch.
Before that game 2 weeks from now, they've got the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia, Black Friday. Do you expect any big names to be back for that game?
I think it's entirely possible that we see one or both of the star cornerbacks, Jalen Johnson, who had started to be a full participant at the end of last week. He only had four practices. For the Edwards, Jalen Johnson, and Kyler Gordon injuries, we've seen those are all aggravations of previous problems, right? The last thing the Bears want is to get one of those three mainstays back, only to lose him in the next game. So I think they're being appropriately cautious, but I think it's possible that Gordon and Jalen Johnson could both be back for that game, at least one of them. And when you look at the talent level of those two individuals, it spikes everything else that you have going. T.J. Edwards, I'll be perfectly honest with you, Judson. I've asked around, and I don't have a great grasp of how close T.J. Edwards is. He is the anchor of their run defense, and they have missed him sorely. Getting him back would be huge, but I really don't have a good gauge on that one.
Scott, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate your work. I appreciate your time. Keep it up.
Judson Richards, thank you as always, my friend.
All right, good stuff there from Scott Baer, the Marquee Sports Network. Follow his work. And we talk about the job that Ben Johnson has done. Here's a pretty good statistic for the old ball coach. You want to weigh in, by the way, on anything Scott had to say and what we've been discussing about the Bears, 312-644-6767. We've been asking you, if you were not a believer in Caleb Williams and you've shifted, what has you convinced as of now the Bears have their franchise quarterback? Also, what would be your top three reasons why the Bears are where they are, that 8-3 and atop the NFC North and have won 8 of their last 9? 312-644-6767. That statistic on Ben Johnson, this is pretty good. How about being the fourth head coach in 106 years in the history of the Chicago Bears to win 8 of their first 11 games as a Bears head coach? That's not bad. That's not bad. And offensively, by the way, this 8-1 stretch that they're on, 8 wins, 1 loss, total yards, they're averaging 378 yards. They're averaging 145 rush yards on the ground, 23 takeaways, and just 5 giveaways. Overall, the Bears are 6th in total offense. They are 2nd in rushing yards, and they are 8th in points. And that's where we discussed this last week, but I'll remind you again, if you find yourself going, well, you know, Matt Nagy was a first-year head coach, and he was able to get to 8-3, and Nagy had a second-year quarterback, and that was Mitch Trubisky, and they were at 8-3. Like, why? What would make you believe that this is different? Or, you know, they, when they huddled around in the locker room, they had the buy-in of Club Dub, and, you know, he would say boom, and they would do that whole thing. Well, offensively, it is drastically different. Offensively, they have an identity. And that's one that can score points, by the way. Because if you were like me, I did not feel like Caleb Williams had a good first half. It's a 21-17 game at halftime. We've watched a lot of Bears teams struggle to get to 17 points over four quarters. Caleb Williams, did he have a great team? Did he have a great game? We can look at his, you know, completion percentage, 59% on the season, 19 of 35 for today or yesterday. Isn't it nice to have a quarterback have a not so great game, put up 31 points, 31-28 they win, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I'll remind you, you know, last week Bears really struggled in the red zone. Yesterday, 3-for-3 in the red zone, 7-for-13 in third down efficiency. You know, that is a major difference. That the Bears are not only winning while improving under a new head coach, they are doing things offensively that the Bears just don't do. In fact, one of the stats that they dropped in the game, on the game broadcast, the Bears had not had a top five, not had a top five total offense since 1977, a top five total offense. Now, they have fallen back to 6th. The Bears are 6th as of right now in total offense. So, a couple big games, and they could be there. Although, I'll say this about the game that Caleb Williams had yesterday. You're not winning in Philadelphia with that performance. You're probably not winning in Green Bay with that performance. And health-wise, they were able to get by Mason Rudolph and the Steelers with all of the injuries that they had. But as Scott and I just discussed, there's a couple of those names, at least one of those names, Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, TJ Edwards, you're going to need to get healthier. Because this stretch, although not as daunting as some may make it out to be, it's the third most difficult strength of schedule the rest of the way out around the NFL. And there are things that you are just going to have to clean up. Running game wasn't great yesterday, averaged 4 yards per carry. You want to win in Philadelphia? All three phases. Probably similar in Green Bay, all three phases. But what we can enjoy most, and we can go over the percentages and whatnot of the Bears' chances to get to the playoff. I see a lot of 70, 72% chance for the Bears to get to the playoffs. That's great. I'd like to see them get to the playoffs. But what I did not foresee this season, I hope for it, I thought that this would be a team that would be perhaps 8-9 or 9-8. But what they are working towards right now is finding themselves playing meaningful games in the month of December. And when you're playing meaningful games in your division in the month of December, that is building upon the expectations that you set for your organization. organizationally, this is what the Bears want to work towards. Forget about Aaron Rodgers versus Caleb Williams. This isn't 2010. Talk to me about Jordan Love versus Caleb Williams, meaningful games in December. I'll take it. That's coming up in 2 weeks. 312-644-6767. Marvin is with us on 670 The Score. Hey, Marvin, what's going on?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Marvin, how are you?
Man, we 8-3, man. I'll take that any day, any year, any time, any decade.
Pretty right good. Now. Yeah.
Yeah. Three major reasons I think the Bears are winning. Number one is absolutely the coach, Ben Johnson. Number two, my unsung hero is Dennis Allen.
Oh, yeah.
And the players that he's had to work with, man, if you think about our secondary has been rattled and battled all year long. Tyreek going out, Jalen, of course, being out, Kyler Gordon. Man, Nashawn Wright, I'm tempted to put him as number three, because the job he has done. But the way that Dennis Allen has motivated them guys, even with the front four, with Grady Jarrett being out, Dominique Robinson going out, and then our second rounder Turner going out.
Yeah.
Man, DA has done a marvelous job, man, as a defensive coordinator. Ben is a godsend. And then number three, I would have to give it to Caleb. And here's the thing with Caleb, and I'm going to land the plane. Caleb is still learning. Caleb is still inaccurate. Caleb still has happy feet, but Caleb wins. Listen, he knows how to win, and our team knows how to win. Once they learn how to play, now they know how to win. They did yesterday better than I've seen them do in a long time, man, as far as playing the game for the whole game, not just in the first or fourth quarter. But they did well. I was so impressed, even after three and out of coming out of halftime. The second time that we had the ball, we went down and scored. And when we needed to score, this is something that we haven't been doing with a lead. When teams come back, we don't score. So, man, I would give Caleb a lot of credit, man. He has a long way to go. He really makes me angry when he misses open players. And Ben Johnson has simplified it, though. I think that what he's done for Caleb, he doesn't depend on him to go through progressions, hit the first read, and let that be. And Ben Johnson, I think, is scheming where the first read is usually the best read for Caleb right now, because when he has to go through progressions, he get happy feet, he get nervous, and a lot of that probably is his PTSD from last year. But I think those are my three reasons, man. I think Ben number one, DA number two, and I have to give Caleb the credit. He's a close third with Nashawn Wright.
Marvin,
keep doing what you're doing over there. I was going to say, keep doing what you're doing, man. I love your show, man. I get to get up some early on some days, and, man, you're a great job. You do a great job.
I was going to say, you keep doing what you're doing, Marvin. That was a great call. Thank you.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. You know, one of the things that Marvin said and that I've been talking about is, because I agree with everything you said about what Caleb is struggling with, but those are all the teachable things that we not only can he improve upon and get better at, but we have watched him improve upon and get better at. We all remember how rough training camp was at times. In fact, he struggled with the net drill, and I think half of the national media decided that Caleb should probably just retire right then and there. And we watched him struggle to get the plays in time and get the calls right, and then we've seen that get cleaned up. And then we watched him taking too long to get rid of the ball, and we have watched him improve there. So the teachable things are getting better. And as Marvin said, he just wins. And also, what I've been saying is, the things that you can't teach, he's got those. Keep teaching the things that he needs to be taught while celebrating the quarterback that you have that is winning football games, including throwing for three touchdowns today and leading the way to a 31-28 victory yesterday, that is, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coming up next, it is, of course, a good, better, best Monday. We will hear from Ben Johnson. We will talk about how he has been able to transform your expectations, our expectations, winning expectations in that Bears locker room. That's coming up next. You're listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.